Thank you. I mean, we are ready, but Sophie's not here. I do think we should wait a minute or two. Can the attendees hear me now? Okay. So we are waiting for one board member. While we have a minute here, I can let you all know that because we have quite an extensive list of candidates, we're only allocating 10 minutes per candidate. Unfortunately, I wish we had more time. I will read the questions. When you come on, before you come on, we'll introduce ourselves to everyone because I think all the attendees can hear. And then when you come on, we'll just get started. And you'll have 10 minutes each. I can read the public notice. Let me do that. So the public advisory, and this is standard now during COVID and Zoom and teleconference meetings. Pursuant to Section 3 of Executive Order N-29-20, issued by Governor Newsom, on March 17th, 2020, this June 21st, 2021 meeting of the Board of Library Trustees will be conducted exclusively through teleconference and Zoom video conference. Please be advised that pursuant to the Executive Order and the Shelter-in-Place Order, and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that could spread the COVID-19 virus, there will not be a physical meeting location available. If you are calling in by phone, which is possible, it's certainly okay, you'll have to press *9 and wait to be recognized when you want to speak. Let's see now. Tess.
Thank you. I just wanted to let you know that, it looks like Sophie is actually in the process of logging in. So just letting you know.
Sorry about
logging
that.
Logging in under your name, Tess.
Right. It's because I will change the, I think I
okay,
can change
good.
The name.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Hi, Sophie. All right. Hi. I'm reading the public advisory.
Thank you. And sorry to had a lot
please
of trouble.
Be mindful, please be mindful that the teleconference will be recorded as any Board of Library Trustees meeting is recorded. And all other rules of procedure and decorum will apply for Board of Library Trustees meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference. And finally, this meeting will be conducted in accordance with the Brown Act, Government Code Section 54953. Any member of the public may attend this meeting. Okay. All of the board members are here. I'm going to ask everyone to go around and just briefly introduce yourself, tell people who you are, starting with you, Eve.
My name is Eve Franklin, and I'm the administrative secretary for the library.
Go ahead, Tess.
Thank you. I'm Tess Mayer, director of library services, and my pronouns are she, her.
Diane?
I'm Diane Davenport, and I'm in my second term on the Board of Library Trustees, and I was a long-term library employee and member of the Friends and the Foundation.
Amy?
Hi, my name is Amy Roth, I'm in my first term here at on the Board of Library Trustees. I sort of came up through the library, through the Friends of the Library.
And Amy is our vice president.
Yes, I am.
Sophie?
I'm Sophie Hahn. I think I'm in my third term. I am very happy to serve on the Board of Library Trustees, and I'm also on the Berkeley City Council representing District 5.
And I'm John Solowski. I'm now in my second term. I just started my second term. I am board president. I'll be facilitating this meeting tonight. First of all, thank you all for joining us also, and thank you for your interest and participation. We have, as I mentioned earlier, quite an extensive list, group of candidates. We're pleased to have you here. I want to get this started so that we're not here unduly long. Eve has to take roll call.
Trustee Solowski.
Yes, here, present.
Trustee Roth.
Here.
Trustee Davenport.
Here.
And Trustee Hahn.
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we have public comment on any item that is not on tonight's agenda. So if you want to speak, if anybody wants to speak on anything that has nothing to do with the candidate process, now's your time. And I'm going to check the list of attendees, see if any hands are up. I will wait a minute or two. Okay, I don't see anything. Comments from Board of Library Trustees. Diane, I see you're shaking your head. No, Amy, nothing. Sophie?
Just thanks to all the applicants and to all of you.
Thank you. Okay, so we move to the action calendar. Trustee interviews. And we're going to start with our first candidate, but I do public comment is possible at this point on this, on the candidates themselves, but I think all we, not sure, I think all we have here are the candidates themselves. Yes, that's all I see. Okay. So, let's get going. Our first candidate tonight is Arissa Chumi-Saro. Tell me how to pronounce that when you come on.
Hi there. Thank you for promoting me. It's Arissa Chumi-Saro. So we got three almost correct pronunciations.
yeah, almost. Oh, well, yes. I was playing around with the last name. Right. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so you understand the process. I'm going to ask the questions. We are very pleased to have you here. Thank you for your interest and participation and care for our libraries and our community. We do appreciate that. Excuse me. I have a bit of congestion tonight. Question number one. So, and I'm going to double check with Eve. You're running the clock and we're okay, right? Good. What unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
Great, thank you for that question. So I think that I bring a very unique combination of personal and professional to this part. So I am a forever born and bred Berkeley resident and grew up here and now live here. So in that, I feel like I was thinking back and I was thinking that I've seen every library remodeled in my life here physically. And I feel like this is this really exciting opportunity to also continue to transform what's happening in the libraries beyond them, just their physical structures. So I've also been an avid library user for my whole life and hold the perspective of many members of the community in that I am a parent. I'll have a Berkeley High and King student in the fall. So I've been in the Berkeley public schools for a long time. I'm also the daughter of parents who are still living in Berkeley and really represent a more kind of senior community in Berkeley. And then professionally, I am an educator. I was a middle school teacher, and then now I work for an educational nonprofit focused on literacy. And my focus right now is leading teachers, middle, high school, and college teachers in supporting reading for students. And so I work nationally now, and that work brings with it the management of lots of federal funds. Most of our work is grant funded. So I bring the experience of what that means to manage and be accountable to both kind of taxpayers and students and teachers. So my kind of constituents and stakeholders are very wide and very varied, which I think is also true for users of the library. And I have quite a bit of experience as a facilitator. So I spend in this past year many times in this type of setting, both the digital space and in-person space, really trying to make room and voice for lots of different perspectives and trying to figure out how do you center the learner, both in the classroom and for adults. I have to say, I got distracted by this clock counting down here. So I think it's that kind of combination of this deep commitment to education and equity and literacy, my love for that, as well as my love for this city that I have really truly lived in for the majority of my life and am definitely raising my family in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you were distracted by the clock, but I was going to ask if you could see the clock. So I'm glad you can see it.
I can see it. Important. I can manage my distractions.
I'd rather not cut people off unless I have to, right?
Right.
Question number two. Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage in championing diversity, equity, and or inclusion. And what were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so? And this is 3 minutes also.
Great. All right. Thank you. So I think one of the realities of our public education system across this country is that it's predominantly run by white women, and that's not necessarily the predominant number of students in the classroom. And so one of the things in my organization, which works naturally is we were seeing a similar part. So we use we have facilitators who come out of the classroom and work with teachers. And the majority of our cohort of facilitators was white women and also older white women retired from the classroom. And those teachers were then being sent to all over the country to lead other teachers. And this is a huge challenge for both the other teachers that were serving and students. And so we really wanted to think about what does that mean and what can we do to change that kind of both white dominated space of what the training might be like, and also to have both teachers and students see more representatives of themselves in that school in their training. So one of the programs that we launched was really to get into understanding what does diversity mean? So it has to do with color, it had to do with urban, it had to do with rural, it had to do with different gender identities and orientations. And we launched a, I was able to secure funding to launch a new training program to train a new cohort of facilitators for the first time in 10 years in our organization. And we ended up with almost 30 new facilitators, over two thirds who identified as people of color. We were able to bring, in this case, we needed many more men, and also of age range and urban and rural. So I now have people from the borders in the Southern Rio Grande Valley in Texas, to Chicago, all the way to kind of rural North Carolina. And so that was this initiative that we started, and that group was very cohesive. But the real challenge is then how do you integrate it into the older facilitators who are kind of already established? And what does it mean to not set up a dynamic then for it to be one older white facilitator with one person of color going in and still having now this other positional authority? So this is a thing that we're working on. And thankfully, I was able to kind of write in more grant funding to have team, larger teams of facilitators who can support each other. So it's not a tokenizing and putting a person of color on a team to have a person of color, but really looking at what we can add and change about our training and what everybody brings from their own classroom experience to that part there. So it's totally a work in progress right now. And one of the main discussions we've had to have about is this idea of safety and whose safety is more important and how to stay in the room when you're uncomfortable and not to privilege one person's safety, the dominant culture safety, over the other change that we're trying to create. Got it with the timer.
You did it, thank you.
I think I just started to talk faster and faster at the end.
Yeah. The candidates have been doing that at times. Exactly. Yeah, I wish we had more time. I'm sorry. I apologize. So closing is 2 minutes, and it's, you know, it's kind of your standard, your classic closing. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy? Any questions of us?
I mostly just would like to really extend my appreciation, as Sophie kind of started, for all the work that you have done and the library has done, especially over this last year. And I think the things that have stood out to me most recently, even pre-COVID, was the elimination of the fines and the introduction of the kitchen, the tool lending parts of it. And I just feel like that continued throughout this really challenging time, and opening up for pickups and expanding the digital services and our personal experience in my house with the, when you could fill out your form and get personal recommendations, my 9th grade son, like, it just, he loved it. He was corresponding with the librarian who was asking about it, and then going to pick up the books. And I just want to really extend my appreciation for that creativity in this time, when it's more than just about keeping the library open. To keep it beyond that piece, it's still about expanding and growing. And I just feel so grateful to live in a community that puts so many resources towards, that we have a functioning library system and that it's working and growing. So thank you all for the work that you do behind the scenes. It's so interesting to get onto this call and know that many of you are serving more than your first term. And that speaks volumes. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for the opportunity to share tonight as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Arisa. It was a pleasure to hear from you and meet you. Thank you for your candidacy and your interest again. We were quite taken with how many people, obviously, in their responses to our, you know, application, care about our libraries and our community. And you're one of them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the time tonight.
Have a good evening.
Thank you, Marisa. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I don't see any reason not to move on. Let me just pull up another sheet here. Is it Jamie Crook next? I think so. Let's see. You're muted, Eve, if you're talking to us. If you're not talking to us, that's fine.
I said hello, that's all.
Oh, there you are. Hi. Hi. Welcome.
Thank you.
And you heard my introduction to all. I'm not sure that everybody was listening at that point, but you heard that, right?
Yeah, I've been on since the beginning, so we can jump right in.
Okay, good. Thank you. Excuse me. Question number one, 3 minutes. There will be a timer to distract you. What unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
Well, thank you all so much for inviting all of us to interview. I'm excited just to have a little chance to talk with you all. So I'm a lawyer. So I do come with a particular skill set, a lot of attention to detail. You know, I'm familiar with reading rules and regulations, drafting policies and other documents that need to comply with legal standards. So I bring a professional skill set. But I think more importantly than that, my work as a lawyer and my own personal life has been focused on inclusion and community building. My background is as a housing discrimination lawyer, and now as an immigration lawyer, helping people seeking asylum enter the United States. And so my whole work really is about building community and increasing sense of belonging. And on a personal level, I feel that happens at the library, especially here in Berkeley. When I moved here, I hadn't really been to a public library in quite a while until I moved back to Berkeley at the end of 2017. And it's such a unique and wonderful place. I'm a lover of books my whole life. I've been a huge reader. As a child, I was very shy, but I always found my world of imagination in books. And bringing my then 2-year-old to the library for the first time was just wonderful for both of us. It was a place she loved. I really value the sense of belonging the library brings in Berkeley, particularly. I mentioned this a little bit in my application, but it's a place for children, for older people, for people who don't have technology at home, where everyone can come and learn and do what they need to do. And I also really appreciate how accepting it is of people, regardless of housing status or background. It really feels like a place that is safe for everyone. And so just very excited about bringing my own professional background and my passion for that to the board. I do have some specific experience on boards and commissions, so I kind of know how to work in that space. I'm very collaborative. I really value hearing all sides. I know how to speak up my opinion, but I really like to listen to other people and take all sides in. So I think I will wrap up there.
Let me unmute myself. Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. The second question is 3 minutes also. Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage in championing diversity, equity, and or inclusion. What were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
I really appreciated that this was one of the only two questions in this short interview process. I think it says a lot about the values of the library. So I'm just glad to see that this is, top of the list for you all to be asking about. I couldn't really think about a specific time. I mentioned just now that my professional work has really been focused on eradicating barriers to people based on race, based on disability, based on gender. immigration status. And so I guess I would just talk briefly about a case I did, which is not really directly related to the library, but I think maybe talks about my approach. I'll be very brief. There was a state law that was passed in Alabama that made it illegal to more or less reside in a mobile home if you couldn't prove legal immigration status or US citizenship. And it was going to have the effect of forcing anyone who lived in a mobile home without legal immigration status to leave Alabama. That was going to disproportionately affect Latinx residents for some statistical reasons I won't go into. And so we challenged it, and we challenged it right before Thanksgiving because the law was going to take effect on December 1st. And I'd say the biggest challenge was it's hard work. It's really hard work to get a case together. It's hard to accuse lawmakers of discrimination. It's hard to convince a court to see it that way. But working together as a team with a lot of commitment to seeking justice for these families who would have had to literally flee the state in order to avoid breaking the state law on very short notice right before the holidays was one time I think that just demonstrates the sincere commitment that I have to making sure that our communities are open and not exclusive and that everyone feels that they can belong. I think also just on a day-to-day basis, I try to make decisions in my work to make sure that particularly attorneys of color, attorneys from different backgrounds are having leadership roles. So I'm really conscious of that, whether it's someone's presenting an argument in court or taking over to run a presentation or having new responsibilities. That's always top of mind for me, is making sure that the same opportunities don't continue to go to the same people that they historically have. So it's the question just prompts something that like is just very much of how I live my life and how I run my professional decisions as well.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in under time too. we come to closing the final question statement, which is 2 minutes. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy? And certainly any questions of us.
Thank you. I'd actually love to use the time to ask. I'll start with one question. If I have time, I'll go to my second one. But I'd love to hear what you all think are important skills or qualities for a board member.
Board members, anybody want to take that? I'm not hearing from anyone.
John, I think, I mean, I think the qualifications that we put forward are really what because we did review those before we published them. And I don't want to speak for myself, but to speak, to what the board reviewed and agreed were the qualities we were looking for are really the qualities that we think are important. And that's being a public library champion, passionate about lifelong learning and community engagement, demonstrated commitment to equity, diversity, and inclusion, executive leadership, business, financial management, administrative skills like that, and leadership in community, nonprofit, and government. So those are for me, as a body, those are the what we look for in a trustee.
Thank you, Sophie. Yes, and that's what we put out, and we agreed on those. So I think yes. I think they reflect the entire board.
Yes.
Any last statement?
I see my time is just about running down. So thank you so much. It's really nice to talk with you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your participation and your interest.
I just want to say I was dismayed to hear of this Alabama law. Oh my goodness. Thank God we live in California.
Yeah. Okay. We do move on here. Okay, next candidate. Frazalat Nasiri, and help me with that pronunciation as well.
Hello.
Fazala.
Yes, you can just call me Faz.
Faz.
Yes.
Okay, that's...
That's hopefully easier.
Thank you.
I don't think I can make it any easier than that one.
No, that's pretty easy. Thank you. I saw an R in there initially. I'm sorry. I now see it's F-A-Z, right.
That is
So you heard the introduction that I all the participants. We have 10 minutes. Thank you for your participation. We appreciate it. And let's get started. First question is 3 minutes. What unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
Thank you for that question. I grew up in a family where my parents did not have enough money to buy me all the books I wanted to read as a kid. And so from a very early age, they introduced me to the library, and I had a library card and I could read everything I ever wanted. And with that, I've been a voracious reader since as far back as I can remember, and have been a beneficiary of the libraries in the towns that I've lived in. I've lived in Montreal when I was a young kid. I spent some time in Tehran in Iran where I grew up. I've lived in Oxford in the UK, and in 2013, I moved to Berkeley. And I have to say, the Berkeley City Library is one of the best libraries I've ever been to. And I join events there all the time and just would love to contribute in any way I can. I think, you know, the past year, I've ordered a lot of digital books. I use I use basically every service the library offers. And really, in my opinion, the library serves as a center for the community to make sure that there is access to free and available education to everyone in the community. And I love that the city of Berkeley really kind of doubles down on that mission. And I think, you know, with my, I'm a very creative problem solver. I've worked in a lot of different fields. I've been a project manager. I've worked in operations. I come from a from an engineering background. I now work in recruiting. And through my career transitions, it's really like, I love problem solving. I love figuring out, you know, what the new challenges are and how we collaborate to solve those. And so that's what I'm hoping to bring to the Board of Trustees.
Thank you. Second question, also 3 minutes. Tell us about a time when you've demonstrated courage in championing diversity, equity, and or inclusion. What were the biggest challenges you encountered in doing so?
So I'll give an example of one of my most recent roles where I was asked to recruit for a team that worked at an education consulting company. They were just starting out as a kind of young, scrappy company and needed to hire a lot more people. And the first thing they asked me was, we need to hire really amazing, qualified, highly qualified people. But two, we also need to make sure that they represent the diversity of the learners that we represent and serve. And our current team was not there. And so I knew very little about recruiting and even less about how you follow diversity and inclusion best practices in recruiting. And so I did a lot of research. I reached out to my community and asked people who were thought leaders in that space. And what I really learned is there's a lot of best practices out there in the field, but how you apply those in each setting is really kind of more requires a lot of creativity and is a little bit art rather than science. And so taking, you know, what best practice research has been with large companies that have all the resources and all the money to direct towards talent and hiring, and trying to implement those in a smaller setting was a really big challenge. And I remember one of our board members actually came to me and said, you know, I think this comes from a place of lack of knowledge. But he did say, well, we don't want to change our practices and lower our bar for who we recruit as we hire diversely. And I was like, no, that is not the intention at all. We want to ensure that we hire a very high caliber, but just open it up to more folks. And so I revamped our hiring process. We included blind resume screens, so we would not be able to see candidates' names before reviewing them. We added a step where we would ask them for a work sample to make sure that we saw what their output would look like before we were swayed by their pedigree or stuff like that. And finally, you know, over the course of the next 3 years, we hired a team that was 60% from underrepresented groups and over 50% women. And that is something I'm really, really proud of. I'm also a contributing member of Women of Middle East and North Africa in Technology, which is a resource group started in San Francisco about 5 or 6 years ago with over 25,000 members to date. And I'll pause there because of time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we go to our closing question statement, excuse me, which is 2 minutes.
Absolutely. So in my opinion, and I hope that this is, what you all believe as well, really the library should provide free and open access to a wide range of different types of materials and service people of all ages, all ethnicities and backgrounds in our community. I also think, you know, again, as someone who has been a beneficiary of the library pretty much my whole life, that, you know, how libraries can be an integral part of educating young people, providing more access, ensuring that we provide continuing education benefits for adults who might need that, and so on. And so I think with so much going on this past year and our sense of, you know, community under threat from political partisanship and economic disparity and COVID and all of the rest of that, I feel like the Berkeley Library has a unique role to play in helping support and foster a sense of community with the people that it serves. And I would love to serve on the Berkeley Board of Trustees and help continue and push that mission forward. And with my last minute, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Yes. I would love to hear from you or one of you what you think is the biggest challenge the board faces today, or what keeps you guys up at night, you all up at night.
Well, excuse me. Last year and a half or so, we did face a challenge in finding a new director, which we successfully accomplished. Right now, I think the challenge is the next 6 months, 8 months, reopening. And reopening safely for our community, safely for our staff, so that everybody feels safe, right? I think that's kind of, it's evolving. And, you know, the picture is evolving, right? So we're going to have to be flexible, and we're going to have to deal with it probably on a week by week basis.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yes. Yeah. And thank you. Thank you for your interest and participation.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
I'm going to call our next candidate up, Linda Oliver.
I'm not muted now. Can you hear me?
No, I can hear you.
I can hear you. Good. My name is Linda Oliver. I've lived in Berkeley since 2004. I've always been an enthusiastic user of the library. I think it has resources that are so, the wide range. I mean, I watch Canopy as much as I can, things like that. I've been an avid reader my whole life, including back when I lived as a child in rural Oregon. I was probably 20 miles from the closest library. But Oregon had a program back then where you could order books by mail and have them mailed to you. You had to mail in a little slip and send it in, and they would mail the books. So I learned deferred gratification. You know, the day the box, we received the box, my sister and I would get so excited. I am an attorney at a private law firm in San Francisco. I litigate cases involving mostly insurance and labor law and a broad variety of commercial disputes. So I do look for ways to give back to the community. I think as Jamie was saying, I think my experience as an attorney requires a lot of problem solving skills, people skills, things like that, that would be useful for the library. I have also have experience on a nonprofit board. I am currently on the board of directors of the YWCA of Berkeley, Oakland, right across the street from Cal. The Y is dedicated to eliminating racism, empowering women, and developing leaders. We have an amazing, something most Ys don't have. We have a tremendous resource right across the street, all those eager young Cal students who are looking for ways to do, you know, things to do. And so we're able to do programs in mostly Oakland schools, some in Richmond, offering STEM tutoring programs for middle school students, particularly girls, to get involved in STEM. We targeted middle school because that's at a time where very often young girls start to get discouraged and thinking they could have a career in STEM. So being able to send Cal students to do work with them, and they usually do fun projects to try to make science seem fun. But we also have a wide variety of other programs and resources for Berkeley and Oakland, including programs in financial literacy, particularly for young people. We also have some English language classes and mentoring. Somebody from Cal can volunteer to spend an hour with, you know, usually people from other countries who are living here, often students, but not just students, who might have a little bit of trouble with English as a second language. So it's something it's not really a class you can go take, but it's our volunteers helping other people, and that's our mission. I've also volunteered,
So that was 3 minutes.
I'm sorry. Okay.
That's fine.
I'm sorry.
You took your time. You took all your time. So question number two, you want me to read it?
I've heard it 3 times and I've read it. So,
okay.
I currently work for a relatively small law firm. We only have 9 attorneys in San Francisco and I think 60 up in Oregon. But I was previously a partner at a large international law firm where I was one of the leaders of the Women's Initiative Program in the San Francisco office. This law firm has about 1,500 attorneys and it's been around over 100 years. Through that, I mentored younger women attorneys. When I joined the firm, I was a lateral from another firm. I did become a partner, but I was the only person that year, only woman that year who was selected out of a group of about 15 to 20, I think. And they made us all stand on a dais and be introduced. And afterwards, it was at a firm retreat. Afterwards, everyone kept coming up to me and saying, "Did you know you're the only woman?" I'm like, "Yes, I do." And that encouraged me, made me more committed to encouraging young women to take the steps they need to achieve partnership. It's very competitive at large firms. And often the older attorneys will mentor and introduce young attorneys to clients at things like golf or going out to drink or things like that. And I'm not saying women don't play golf and women don't drink, but they often don't get invited, number one, and fewer of them really do. We made some changes like sponsoring CLE programs, continuing education programs, and things that we would invite clients to and make it easy for our younger attorneys. We also encourage people to take younger attorneys, both male and female, with them when they did pitches with clients. We had some fun events like cooking classes and literary evenings and things like that. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So the closing question statement, you know, is there anything else you would like to share with us? And certainly you can expand on anything you want to.
Right. I just want to say I really appreciate the way that obviously a lot of thoughtful consideration went into how the library responded to COVID. And it honestly, you know, I was always a person to order books on hold. So I always did that. But just being able, I use mostly the North Berkeley Library because I live in North Berkeley, and just being able to run in there, and the people were always so friendly. So, but I really enjoy being able to return inside. That was pretty exciting. I think I almost cried. The only question I have for you is if you could comment on what are the things you really like about being on the Board of Trustees?
I can answer for myself. I really like that I'm working for helping, protecting, maintaining, promoting our Berkeley libraries and libraries in general. And it's part of I've spent my entire adult life working for the public good, the public commons, if you will. I was on the school board for 12 years. These public institutions are really, really important to me. And I'm just thrilled I can continue that work, working for the public libraries. Other board members, we have some time.
Well, I'll volunteer a little bit if my colleagues are not jumping in. For me, it's, first of all, I believe that libraries are literally part of the cornerstone of democracy. Access to information that is accurate and having the advice of people who know the difference between what reality is and what fake information is more important than ever. So I really view public libraries as an important part of democracy and access. The other thing that really inspires me about public libraries is that they're sort of the community's big house. They are one of the few indoor spaces that are open all the time with resources and service for people of every age, every background, every ability. And they're a place of refuge and acceptance and enrichment for the whole community. The library for me is the big house for the community, and it's an honor to be able to help tend that big house.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Pleasure meeting you. Thank you for your participation. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Have a good evening.
You too.
Okay, our next, hi Eve. Something to say?
No.
Okay. Let's see now. I've got Raquel Pinderuse coming up.
Hello.
Hi, Raquel. Welcome.
Thank you. Can you see me?
Yes.
Yes.
Good to meet all of you.
Just give me one second, Lily. Okay, good. I can read the questions. I'm glad to. And I've been doing that frequently
I'm
for
fine.
Most
can
candidates.
Can you just start off with the first and we can take it from there?
Okay, question number one, and it's 3 minutes.
You want to read the question? I'll just answer. It's fine.
No, I'm going to read. I'm getting my paper here. What unique experiences, knowledge, and skills do you bring to serving on the Board of Library Trustees? How has your work in the community and its institutions informed your perspective?
Okay. So I've spent most of my life in libraries, both locally based libraries and university based libraries. I've been a professor of urban studies and planning at San Francisco State for 3 decades. And as a teacher, I work closely with libraries and have done my entire career. I've served on the board of the Friends of the San Francisco Library, where I have raised tens of thousands of dollars for the San Francisco State Library every year, working with a very small team. I have deep, extensive experiences working with nonprofits. I've served as president of many nonprofits in the Bay Area, including on the board of the Ecology Center for 25 years. So I understand how nonprofit boards and how nonprofits function from a legal and fiduciary perspective, from a staff and board perspective, from an employment perspective, and from a community serving perspective. I also have extensive experience starting and directing nonprofits. I'm the founder and director of a small environmental education nonprofit that prepares youth and adults who have barriers to employment for 125 jobs in environmental sectors. And 50% of our participants are incarcerated when they participate in our program. I also have extensive experience, which I think is very important, working with and developing programs for low literacy learners and underserved populations. I'm a native Spanish speaker who feels equally comfortable in English and Spanish, and I'm deeply connected to the Spanish speaking community in Berkeley. Deeply appreciate the West Berkeley branch's attention to the Spanish speaking population in Berkeley. And I also wanted to add that I've worked in a lot of countries, and wherever I travel, I visit the local libraries. And one of my outstanding memories in preparing for this interview was the libraries in Curitiba, Brazil, where I really got a chance to see how libraries can be community serving institutions. And I think I can share some of that international experience with Berkeley.
Thank you, Raquel.
Sure.
Question number two is also 3 minutes.
Okay, don't really need 3 minutes for that one. I've been thinking a lot about that. So I spend most of my life championing diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I do this in a wide range of institutions. So in trying to think about one of the biggest challenges and thinking about what would be meaningful to share today, I hit upon this one, which is that one of the biggest challenges that I have faced in championing diversity, equity, and inclusion has been working in the prisons, where providing empowering education and job training services and championing diversity, equity, and inclusion needs to be presented in a way that doesn't reference that language and that doesn't necessarily present the ideas in that way. Because when you work with people who have very different ideas about the goals of the institution, you have to figure out what the needs and frameworks are of those individuals and those institutions. And then you have to figure out how to work together and how to meet those particular goals of championing equity and inclusion and diversity within the framework of an institution that doesn't welcome that particular set of ideas. And I think I've learned how to do it. I've learned how to do it by making a lot of mistakes. I've learned how to do it by working with some of the people who are supportive and learning from them and being schooled by them. And I've learned how to do it by practice. And I wanted to share that particular experience because I think what it reflects is that we can do this work, but we have to figure out how to do it in diverse settings and with people who have a diverse set of ideas. And that's a skill, a very important skill. And although in Berkeley, we like to think that we all think the same way and share the same goals. We know from the data, for example, in the Berkeley high schools, that not everybody thinks about issues of diversity, inclusion, and equity in the same way, or even shares those goals.
Thank you, Raquel. So closing, is there anything else you would like to share with us about your candidacy?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I've just stepped down from serving as the president of the Ecology Center board for after 25 years. I served in that role for 15 years. It was a very time-consuming, exhausting responsibility. The Ecology Center is a very deeply engaged, diverse organization that, as people probably know, runs the farmers markets and the recycling program and educational programs and the store, and is extremely diverse and expansive in its programming. And after I stepped down, I spent a lot of time thinking about how I wanted to continue serving in the community in Berkeley, where I've lived for 30 years. And I decided that the libraries are the institutions that I care the most about in this city. And that's the work that I want to do next. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, and I appreciate meeting and hearing the other candidates. And I think any one of us that you choose will be wonderful.
Thank you, Raquel.
Thank you
for your time, for your interest, and your participation. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And yes, there are some really good candidates. Thank you again, and have a good evening. Take care.
Thank you.
Vivian Pisano.
Good evening.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
You don't need to repeat the questions because I have them in front of me, and I've heard the other candidates as well.
Very good. Get started then. Go.
Okay, here goes. I have a 40-year career in libraries, 30 as a librarian, and I've held a wide range of positions, including cataloging, reference, special projects, IT, managerial positions. I started my career in academic libraries and then moved on to public libraries, where I lived in for the rest of my career. I'm retired now. And they were in the Bay Area. Some of them are Alameda County, Oakland Public, Richmond Public, San Francisco, and for a brief time in Berkeley as well. I was in my profession. I was heavily involved in professional organizations, including ALA, CLA, Reforma. I served on many committees as chair. I served as president in some of those organizations. I served on ALA Council, on policy committees, administrative committees, and also primarily in San Francisco and citywide committees, where I represented the IT department at San Francisco Public. And I've worked with community organizations and leaders to advocate for the library and also to involve them in library programs. Here in Berkeley, I was active for a while in the Pools campaign back a few years ago. And I am active in my neighborhood group. Insofar as my work in communities and institutions, I'm open to different perspectives that the individuals and groups bring to a gathering, and I seek to understand their positions. I truly believe that our public institutions strive for flexibility to meet the needs of their communities, and also realize that they're subject to laws and regulations that might make them seem unwieldy or maybe not move as fast as some would wish, or may not move in the specific direction desired by some constituencies. But I think that our public institutions and here in Berkeley are the library too. They are very, very important and serve a wide variety of interests and competing interests. I think I'm out of time almost. Thank you.
Yes, that was it. Thank you. So question number two.
Okay.
Three minutes also.
Okay. Much of my career has involved library services to the Spanish speaking, starting when I was a library school student. I did a door-to-door survey of Spanish speaking people in the city of Richmond to learn how the library could better serve them. And I went on to working on a statewide or a Spanish catalog project where we automated the catalogs of the libraries back in the old days. Then developing a bilingual subject headings project that evolved into an expanded multi-service project with libraries all over California. When I had positions that were not directly involved with the Spanish-speaking community, I continued involvement in the library organizations that brought services to Spanish-speaking people into the mainstream, such as Bibliotecas para Gente and Reforma. And for those of us working on these issues in the early days, the most abiding challenge was for the libraries we worked for to take our efforts seriously and to not see this work as being less important or extra. It could be done, but with a lot of work and support from each other. In my case, I was fortunate to work in libraries where there was a general will to serve this community, but many of my colleagues were not. And still, it was all upon us to make a case without letting any of our other duties fall behind. Oh, so. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Vivian. So,
okay.
Two minutes for the closing.
Okay. Well, first of all, I wanted to say that I'm so very delighted that you have so many candidates to choose from. I mean, this is really a wonderful thing, and it says a lot for the Berkeley Public Library. It reflects that our library here is really a positive force in the Berkeley community, and that so many in the community engage and wish to be involved in our library. I also wanted to say something about my management style, that I've always taken satisfaction and pride in the successes of my staff, considering each person as individuals with different sets of interests, needs, and abilities. And whenever I encountered staff members who fell behind, I looked for what they could contribute and what they liked to do, what they enjoyed doing, or satisfied with doing, and then I would work within those parameters to really to try to bring the best out of the employees. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you for your time and your interest and your participation. And have a great evening.
You
take
too.
Care. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have, the way I see it, we have three more candidates. I need to step out for 2 minutes. Can we take a 2-minute break? Yeah, I gotta go.
That was good.
No other way to put it.
We'll be back in at 6:42 or 6:43.
Yeah, 42, 40, somewhere in there is fine. Thank you, folks. See you in 2 or 3 minutes. Okay. Are we back? Is everybody here? I can't tell right now.
Yep.
Good. All right. Thank you all. I can call up the next candidate. Karpurta Sanka.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. Yes, greetings. I don't see you.
Neither do
I. I hear you.
How about now? I just got a pop-up that said start my video. Do you see me? No.
Your window is there, but it's empty.
Yeah, it's an empty window. We do hear you, though. So,
yeah. Okay.
I mean, we can proceed. It's up to you.
You might have to select, if you go to the little arrow next to video and click on it,
mm-hmm.
Video settings, and you maybe need to select a different camera.
Okay. I've got integrated camera. That's the only option. And looks like my dog decided to bark at the same time. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't get my camera on.
Is the laptop open or are you
looking? Yeah. Laptop is open and I uncovered that camera. I usually keep it closed.
Oh, dear. Well, John, those are all the fixes I know.
Yeah. So it's okay. We can hear you.
Okay. All right.
We can interact. it would be nice to have you on screen, but that's okay. It's okay. Do you want me to read question number one?
No, I'm good. I have been hearing it.
Yes. 3 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. So my name is Karpura Sanka. And I've been in Berkeley since 2008. I was really excited when I saw the opening for the library trustee position. And now I'm kind of humbled listening to all the candidates. So thank you for this opportunity. Little bit about me. I've been a lifelong learner. I was trained as a biologist, did some research work. Then I retooled myself as a software engineer, worked in the Bay Area, and I actually interestingly worked at a company that makes library operating system software. And Berkeley Public used to use that. But you guys dropped us now, so for whatever reason. What else do I want to say? So I feel like, you know, in these days, with the changing times, we all have to evolve. We have to keep adapting to the new realities. And I feel the libraries also have to change. And I want to be a part of that journey, help with that evolution of the library. Of course, I'm an avid reader, a strong believer in libraries. And what else can I say? So I'm nervous. But yeah, I'll stop at that. Thank you.
Thank you. It's okay. Take a deep breath. You're amongst friends. It's okay. Question number two is 3 minutes also.
Okay.
Demonstrated courage. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you know, I'm an immigrant, a woman of color, and I work in the STEM STEM areas. So most of my workplaces, you do have to tackle those issues. And I do lead teams. I manage cross-functional deliverables and projects. So continuously I am interacting and managing a diverse initiatives, but also maybe not so diverse people, both in not just looks, and to me, diversity is not just looks, it's also the way you think. And I am constantly being mindful. I also give my time to participate and discuss among the different people or the different groups in my organizations, wherever I work, in the inclusion and diversity programs. So I try to educate people around me and educate myself, right? It's not always a one-way street and everybody has biases. So you always have to be mindful. And I think I live my life being aware of those biases or and raising my children to be mindful of that. So I don't have a one strong story I want to share, but I will say that, you know, I work in the tech field. It's male dominated. And there's lots of policies that are not working women friendly. People are women with families or women of color. So I have built a sort of safe space for women in tech to come together where I work or facilitate those dialogues and take it back to the management. Just, you know, to keep dialogues going and an open communication. So I don't want to get into specifics, but it's always important to be respectful, mindful, and hear other people out before you jump to conclusions is how I lead my life. Okay, I'm going to stop there.
Thank you, Karpura. So the closing statement or, you know, question is 2 minutes. And anytime you want to start.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm really excited to be part of the library. If given an opportunity, I would love it to be a trustee. I mean, looking at the great pool of candidates, any of them would be great, right? So congratulations to the Berkeley Public Library for attracting such a large pool of candidates. So I feel one of the areas that we could do more, and first of all, the library does a lot, especially the online services, mm-hmm. The learning links that you have, like to the Gale, Udemy, or the New York Times, or, you know, all those other resources you have, that's great. But one of the challenges, I think, for the future is to bring the next generation, the diverse next generation, to start loving libraries the same way that my generation and the earlier generation does. We have to make it more a part of their life, or it has to be in their conscious that there's a lovely library resources available to us. It's not just online gaming or whatever, right? So I think that's one area that a library should work more, and I would like to contribute in that area. And thanks for considering me.
No, thank you. Thank you for your time and your interest and your participation. And have a great evening.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Excuse me. We move to, we move to Becca Todd.
Hello, can you hear me? Can you see me?
I can hear you, I can see you.
Okay. Well, thank you. As all the other panelists have said, it's quite a quite an honor to be in such a group of you, but also of them, such a stellar cast of characters. And it does reflect on how strong Berkeley Public Library is and is held in esteem in the community. So kudos. But a little bit about me and why I would love to be one of the Berkeley Public Library trustees. I've been in Berkeley since the early 1980s, and I started as a preschool teacher not far from the South Branch, the Terrea Hall Pittman. And so my first experience was once a month traipsing down with my little 3 to 5 year olds for story hour. And then with my kids, as they were growing up through the years, they have many, many summer public library reading, sheets that they filled out. They're now old enough that they dropped off before it became all digital. So we have the paper copies. Throughout that, so after my commitment to education has been for a long time. And then I realized, my goodness, why there's this role called a librarian. Now, I had loved libraries myself, of course, forever. But it had never occurred to me that one could be a librarian. And then, 10, 20 years into my teaching career, I was then teaching in Oakland Unified School District. That was the era of all of the libraries being closed and shuttered. They weren't like dismantled. I'm like, oh, we can reopen it. And then I realized I could become a librarian, and I did. I got my credential from San Jose State and became the school librarian there, and then at a high school, and then the district librarian. And then in 2006, I had the great fortune to become the district library coordinator for Berkeley Unified School District, which ran the library program in all of the schools. There's 3 preschools, 11 elementaries, 3 middle schools, and the high school and the continuation school. My program didn't do Berkeley Adult School. There's about 23 staff, mostly full-time, but also part-time. And so I managed the budget. It was around $2 million or so for all of the staff and the resources and the professional development. Money comes from Measure E1. Oh my goodness, 12 seconds, which is tax dollars at work. And I gave many reports, and now it's 3 seconds.
Very good. Thank you, Becca. So question number 2, how you've demonstrated courage.
So diversity and inclusion and equity are definitely struggles that the educational community has been in, that I have been working with, and it is critical. It's been critical, and it continues to be. In terms of in the school library world, we spent a lot of time both in some of the initiatives that the district brought through to both examine our own realities as well as institutional racism and finding ways. And then within the library, I would tweak that more to specifically look at issues in children's and young adult literature. And we just committed to making sure that representation, no matter which book list we were putting forward, if it was college and career or welcoming schools or whatever, that it was broad in its representation. And it was always a time to seek. I felt like it was important for me to always seek opportunities to especially bring forward authors and illustrators of color in author visits and illustrator visits, or grants that we got. One in particular that I wanted to highlight that we did just recently, a few years ago, with the Berkeley Public Library, the South Branch Teen Librarian, was the American Library Association Great Stories Club, that book club, which was Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation, which brought to, we brought it to, we had done a few at Berkeley, at BTEC, at Berkeley Technology Academy. And, but this one we did, which was also very good, but this, and this, the latest one was at Longfellow, and it, it brought to 15 or 16 students at Longfellow a weekly book club. And they all received copies of this really great young adult literature, Elizabeth Acevedo, I'm trying to remember who, what some of the titles were, but there was their first book club. At the end of this process, I mean, there were a couple, there was a staff member from the school too, who was part of this process. And at the end of weekly reading and talking and opening up in ways that you know that they hadn't opened up before, they were like, this is the first time anyone's listened to what we really think. And I'm sure that's a slight exaggeration. You always want to feel like you're the first, but it was their own first book club, and for the adult in that situation too. So that was a very special, and we got to have two authors from those books that came to present to the students. Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you. So the closing question statement, is there anything else that you would like to share with us about your candidacy? And certainly you can ask us a question also.
Thank you. So, well, clearly I have retired. I don't even remember if I got to say that. I retired in the June of 2019 from the district. And I have some prior board experience from a long time ago at San Jose State and for the California School Library Association Northern Section. So there's that. There's I wanted to share a fun, quick anecdote, because some of you might not know that the Berkeley Public Library and the Berkeley School Library staff, we had a book cart drill team one year, where we coordinated a roving presentation for the Solano Stroll, and we got second place, so there's that. I also wanted to admit that although I had been in many book clubs, I had never been in an adult book club. I had been in adult book clubs that were reading children's books, but I'd been so dedicated to children's literature, which is incredibly important. But since retiring, I am now in three book clubs, and I am so excited. And should any of you want a book recommendation, you can just email me later and I will let you know, because there are so many great books out there. I really want to champion. I feel like I'm a great champion of libraries. They are the hub. They are information literacy, all of those things that many have spoken to. I'll try and calm down because I have 27 seconds left. They are, and Berkeley is a great example of it. And there are great examples to learn from other communities also, internationally as well as nationally. And championing that and making it better would be a wonderful opportunity. Thank you very much for this time.
Thank you, Becca. Thank you for your time and interest and participation. And have a great evening. Take care. So our next candidate, and if I'm not mistaken, it might be the final candidate tonight, Miriam Aldana Weiss. Are we here?
John, I'm having trouble getting it promoted to, oh, there it finally went.
All right, thank you.
So Miriam, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I can hear you.
Great.
But your screen is blank also. That happened to another candidate.
I was, you were, the candidates were there. And
there you go. There you go. You just popped up.
Oh, great.
Very good.
Okay. You don't have to read me the questions. I've heard them. And my answer will be brief, not like Becca's.
Thank you.
I know Becca. I know Becca. I was, anyway. I have 25 years of experience as a library media teacher in the middle school and high school in Poway, California. And I moved to Berkeley 8 years ago. And I volunteer at Berkeley High and then became a substitute at Berkeley High and also at the middle school. And what this gave me was an opportunity to experience the diverse student body of Berkeley. It was wonderful. In fact, I worked, Becca was my boss when I was substituting. It was wonderful. It was so good to see her. I'll tell you a little bit about my education. I have a bachelor's in chemistry and math, and I have a master's in education with credentials in chemistry, math, and library services. I have experience in the lab working when I was a chemist, but eventually I worked as a librarian and started like 1985. Oh my gosh. I think the main thing I was want to share is that I started a new school. So I opened a new library. So I was in charge of all the budget. I dealt with vendors, the board. I had to buy computers. We're talking 1984, computers, all the databases. And in Poway, in the Southern California and SoCal, you're in charge of textbooks. So I was in charge also of buying all the textbooks for the libraries, for the library, and also all the library collection. And my collections always supported the diverse community of the schools. I worked at the middle school and high school. What else? I'm trying to see. I think that's probably, you know, and what? I think that's probably it. Yeah.
Thank you. So the second question is 3 minutes also.
Okay. When I started in libraries, there were very few Hispanic librarians. I'm a minority. I'm bicultural and bilingual. I was chair for the state for the leadership for diversity at CSLA, and we started a scholarship for the minorities in libraries. And I feel that all the collections that I had, my library collection reflected that I tried to emphasize the diverse population. When I opened the school in 1984, I had a section that had all the different minorities that we had in that school. We had all books in different languages, but we're talking here in 1994. That's a long time ago. Now, this is so common here. But when I was at that time, I was recognized by the board that the new library reflected all that. I always make sure that I'm very conscious and to be aware of other people and how my minorities are received. I'm also very careful. And also with kids, when I was a librarian, I am still a librarian, but I always made sure that the kids felt safe in the library. I had a lot of students, minorities, that felt very safe in the library. It was a place that they felt comfortable, and I'm glad that I was able to provide that for them. I've lived in many places, in many states, in countries. So I've experienced, you know, it's funny, when you're not here in America, you see it so different, but it's been giving me a lot of value in vision, how people can receive, perceive things. I think that's about it. I'm done with number two.
Thank you. So the closing statement is 2 minutes.
2 minutes, okay. Probably will be hopefully a minute. I'm very excited that I was considered for this position. I feel that meeting the challenge of COVID has provided the opportunity for change that because of my background, I feel I will be able to provide support for the library towards the future. I feel that your library here, you know, as I'm a grandmother, now with the COVID, I was very impressed at how you were able to provide kids, people to be able to go and check books and not be exposed to any danger. It was a safe haven to be able to have access to libraries, to the library, even though with this wonderful COVID that we've had. But I do have a question for you. I want to know if you have in the current board any minority or any race represented, because when I saw, you know, when I'm looking at the board, can somebody answer that for me?
As far as I know, currently we do not. But if another board member has another response, please yes, speak up.
Well, we only have 5 spots, and we did have an African American trustee.
And oh, okay.
She didn't re-up at the end of her term. And so that has created this space.
Oh, that's for the space now. Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be considered for this position. And I was so impressed with all the candidates. And amazing. And I'm very humbled to see all of these people that are applying for the position. So thank you so much.
Miriam, thank you. Thank you for your time and participation and interest in our libraries and the community as well. And quite honestly, I've been humbled also. Thank you and have a great evening.
Thank you.
So Eve, that's it, right?
Yes.
Nobody else popped up. Okay. So, does anybody need a break? All right, let's finish up what we have to do here. We're not deliberating tonight. We are meeting July 7th. I hope you all know that for our deliberations. We've set up, Tess and Amy and I met last Friday. Yeah, it was just Friday, wasn't it? Yes. Amy, do you want to go over, and we agreed to certain things. Amy, do you want to go over your procedural conception and, you know, sure. I don't want to misspeak here.
Sure. It occurred to me, all right, we have many candidates and we have many who are very qualified. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse, because making a choice is going to be really difficult. So my idea that just kind of occurred to me, if we're all using the worksheets, there is the very last thing at the very bottom of the sheet is just 2 words, yes or no. And my thought was that if we did each use those, yes or no, when we came together on July 7th, if there were people, candidates who got 4 no's, that we could set those people aside and not delve into them further. My objective is not to be unfair to anybody, but we have to kind of streamline or we'll never get done. So that is my proposal.
So, okay. And I agree to that in our meeting. I think it's a good idea to get us, you know, we, as Amy said, this is not to be harsh or unfair to anybody, but we are going to have to, we're going to have to cull this list somehow. Does everybody understand that? And are there any concerns or comments about that?
I didn't use the sheets.
Well, excuse me? You could. You okay. could still use it.
So, yeah, you can still use them. Yes.
So could you explain again what the idea is to everyone turns their sheets into the chair?
No, so, no. We did. All right. That's not what I was envisioning. John,
okay, yeah, you can explain.
When we get together as a group on the 7th, we go through them in order that we interviewed them. And if there are candidates who have all four of us, you, Sophie, John, me, and Diane, if we've marked no on the bottom of their sheet, for whatever reason, it's not a discussion, then those people we set aside from further consideration. It's a way of taking a first cut. Otherwise, there, I mean, to me, I'm not, I have no skin in the game. It's that it's there's so many qualified candidates, we have to come to grips with thinning them out, if you will. Boy, I hate those expressions, but mm-hmm. You know, so that's my idea.
I'm fine with that. I just I wouldn't say no to anyone. For me, it's just people that I think are stronger candidates and people that I think are less strong. But
well, okay, so you can express it as moving on the candidacy or. You know, you can express it any way you want, but yes. but the idea is if four of us agree, then
yes, I would exactly. rather.
Diane, are you okay? You understand, and you're okay with this?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I would probably personally do it the opposite way. I'd probably want to read through all that we've had, and now that we've seen everybody, I mean, you can't, mm-hmm. you know, we've seen everybody. I would probably like to, for each of us to choose our top three or four, whatever we decide people to move on and send those names in and see if that gets us a group of, you know, four or six people that we're going to spend our evening talking about. But, you know, if the majority of you want to do it the reverse way, I can probably adapt to that.
Well, I think, and I'm going to let Tess explain further, but I think the second idea was exactly that, that we would all come up with 3 to 5 candidates, our top 3 to 5. We don't want to limit it to necessarily 2 or 3
right.
for everybody. Yeah. Somebody might have 5. And that's your choice if you only want 1 or 2, by the way. That's anybody, that's absolutely your choice. I'm not saying you have to pick 3 or 5 or whatever, but our idea was each of us come up with the top 3 or 5 after this first pass, if you will. Again, that's I wish there were another way of expressing it, but you know,
I just want to say, as a public board, we can't do any of this behind the scenes.
That's we're not no, of doing course it. Not. We're not doing
of course
it.
Not. We're waiting till July 7th to do this.
Okay. No, I heard someone say sort of like submit things.
And No.
Nobody said that.
But no.
I think I actually did say it, but go ahead. Tess has got her hand up.
Thank you. Thanks. I just wanted to make a clarification. So there were 2 points that I heard. And I think the original idea was to take both approaches at the same time, because they're really, one is the corollary of the other, so that there would be the going through and taking into account people that had the 4 no recommendation, the 4 no ranking, and then also taking the approach of selecting 2 to 5 top candidates. But I do want to point out something that's really important in the chat. And I think this is an important point of clarification. And I appreciate that Fazilat is sharing this idea with us as a recruiter. And I would have added this, which is that it's the comment is that it's important actually for people to do the rankings individually prior to coming to the meeting. Right. That's the point, because then you're making an independent selection you're not, the point that Foz was making in the chat is that you're not allowing for the bias possibly of listening to other folks inform your own selection process. So the recommendation is actually that you would do this work independently and then bring this content to the meeting to share.
Right, exactly. And that's basically, I mean, and I should let you know that I think Tess indicated there would be one small other item on that agenda that evening. But basically, we have that whole evening for this, okay? And that's July 7th for anybody, you know, listening and tuning in and interested. So anything...
I'm only comfortable doing the positive exercise. So I think we talked about this before we got into the whole process. We said we were going to bring forward our top few candidates and see where there was overlap. I think it's highly unlikely that if people bring 3 to 5, that we will not have a couple of candidates that are on everybody's list. I would rather start with a positive, and if we can't get to some kind of a consensus through that, then we could broaden the number of people that we are talking about.
Okay, we have one evening. I mean, we could always set another evening to finish this, but I'd rather not do that. And Eve, remind me again, do we have 19, 20 candidates?
Nine from tonight. And I think
11 from the previous.
11 night? From the previous.
So there are 20 candidates.
Correct.
I'm just pointing that out, that there might not necessarily be 3 or 4 overlaps for all of us.
If there's only one, then we have an answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if we each come prepared to put forth our 4 top people, we'll have both overlap and depth.
All right. I mean, I'm game. We can try that. Amy, I see your hand.
Well, I was going to say is it's, you know, it's pretty simple math. If people bring forth 5 candidates, each of us, and there is no overlap, then we've nominated 20 people and we haven't really gotten anywhere. But it's unlikely that that's going to happen. I imagine things will fall out so that we have 3 or 4 kind of front runners, all of this ebb. But I'm not sure what we do after that.
Well, I will come with my notes that include the ability to do the second exercise, but I would like to only embark on the first. And if we are not able to find enough candidates to talk about where there's overlap, then we can move on to an elimination. I feel that all of these candidates are worthy. Truly, there's not one that is not qualified to serve. And so for me to start our work by engaging in a negative exercise just really, for me, doesn't meet the spirit of how I'm feeling about this group of candidates. And that's why I'm trying to move towards a positive engagement to begin with. And then, but I will, you know, I have notes on them all. And I will be able to do the other piece of this if it turns out that we don't have enough overlap to have a full conversation about, you know, a number of people.
Okay, agreed. I think it's worth a try. So I agree. I agree. everybody in agreement about that?
No. but I'll yield. For me, it's a way of focusing my attention on the more qualified candidates. Sure, we have a very strong group. I don't know how many times and different ways we can say that, but there, you know, in whatever you want to call it, we need to winnow down. And for me, I would prefer the other approach, but it's okay. I'm okay with it. I'll try anything.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Thank you.
What I'd like is a new
when we put the applications out, we really didn't anticipate 27 candidates, and now it's down to 20. But you know, it's a little daunting. It is.
Yes.
All right, Diane. Did I see your hand?
No, I just want to sort of let's really clarify the process before we leave. Are we coming with, you know, our top four? Or do we want to come each of us with everybody ranked in order?
I'm not sure that ranking everyone in order is going to be that useful. I would say really come with 3 to 5 people, you know, that you want at the top.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And fewer is better.
Possibly.
Yeah. Okay. 3 to 5.
Okay. Anything else? So July 7th, right? And come prepared for that. Do your homework beforehand, please. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Do we need to do anything else? Eve, Tess?
Are we going to, I'm going to just go a little bit deeper here. On our 3 to 5, are we going to come in that night and say, okay, Diane, it's your turn. And I say, okay, my top 3 are Tess and Eve and Sophie. And then we move on to the next one who says their name, or are we going to make a case for why they, you know, why we personally rank them that way? Or
I think it might be more productive to just to put your 3 to 5 out there initially, and then we can go back. Let's see how much overlap there is initially.
That sounds
and then
fun.
We can go back and kind of, you know, hash it out, if you will.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Are the 3 to 5, do we rank our own 3 to 5 or not? Sorry?
You're going to rank your 3 to 5, yes.
Okay. Top to bottom. Okay.
We're good? Tess? Anything else? Anything we need to know or keep in mind or be appraised of?
Apprised. No, thank you.
All right. If we're done, and it appears we are, we need a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, Eve, we need roll call on that.
Trustee Solosky.
Yes.
Trustee Roth.
Yes.
Trustee Davenport.
Yes.
And Trustee Hahn.
Yes. And I'm curious what that lovely picture is behind you, Eve.
That is where I would wish to be this summer, but we'll probably not get to go. It's Georgian Bay on Lake Huron in Ontario.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Ontario is probably not going to let us in.
Yeah.
I thought it was either Scandinavia or Maine or maybe.
Yeah, I thought it was Maine. It reminded me of places in northern New England. Yeah.
Thank you
all participants. Please,
yeah.
Again, thank you all candidates. We really do appreciate your participation, and we'll see you all. I think probably you have an interest July 7th. And take care, all. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Take care.
Good night. Good night. Thank you.